AI kernel, which I'm very excited about because this is actually the tool that I'm using to build kernels for a while now, and it's made my life a lot easier, so thank you for that. Dan?
Thank you. Yeah, so let's talk about kernel hacking. First, a little bit about me. I'm Dan. I work at Meta on the Linux user space team, and I'm a systemd maintainer, and I also maintain the tool that I'll be talking about today, which is MakeOSI. So quick motivation for this talk. A little while ago, I started looking into running systemd journaldy, which I work on for individual users instead of just on a per system basis. But to make this work, I actually needed a BPF feature for Unix sockets that wasn't available yet. So I looked at the kernel source code and I figured this is probably doable to do myself. So I got into kernel hacking. Once I'd figure out the code and like written up my first patch, I of course had to test it, but there wasn't really like a clear way like this is how you test your Linux kernel patch. So I started looking into what I could do to do this. The first thing of course that I needed to fix is like if you have your patch, like you can't test your compiled kernel on your host machine, of course, because if it's broken, then you suddenly lose your system. So you need a virtual machine or something to avoid breaking your machine. I also wanted to make sure that this setup is quickly replicatable to any different machine, because I started on my laptop, because that's what I do for systemd, and it works great. But the kernel is quite a bit bigger than systemd, and it also compiles a lot slower. So I was quickly looking for a bigger machine with a lot more cores so that my kernels could compile quicker. So it would be very nice if that I could replicate the setup very quickly to another machine. And ideally, I'm not too reliant on whatever the host distribution of that machine is. Because, well, I work at Meta, and we can get like very big beefy servers that have a lot of cores that we can work on. But they might also be running some old version of CentOS with not all the latest tools available. So ideally, I still get those, but on the big beefy server with the old Linux distribution running. Of course, I want it all to be fast so that I have a quick turnaround time so I can fix bugs or notice bugs, fix bugs, recompile everything and boot again without waiting too long. Like everyone knows the XKCD with like compiling and two dudes are fighting. So I wanted to avoid that. And then of course, when you hack on the kernel these days, it's not just the kernel that you're working on. There's very often some user space projects involved as well. A good example for the file system stuff is XFS tests, which is a separate project. I also wanted to be able to compile all those things and get them available in the virtual machine so that I can run them. So, of course, because I work on systemd and we use MakeOSI to do all of this for systemd, because systemd suffers from the same problems, you also can't really test systemd on your host system because if it's broken, then you can't use your system anymore. So MakeOSI is basically my hammer, and like kernel hacking is just another nail that I wanted to slam in. So what is MakeOSI specifically? It's a tool that Leonard Puttering developed to simplify his hacking on systemd. So he had all the same issues, so he developed MakeOSI to fix it. And what MakeOSI does is it builds you a Linux image. So it invokes a package manager, and then it installs packages. It packages that up as like in one of various formats. And then it allows you to boot it, either in a virtual machine or in a container. And then you can do whatever testing you want, and when you're done, you just exit the virtual machine and it's like nothing ever happened. So MakeOSI supports, like it has a general execution flow. So of course, like we have CLI options, configuration, all that. We install packages for the distribution. So this is invoking DNF, apt, what zipper, pacman, for all the distributions that we support. Optionally, we set up a bootloader and all that if you're doing it a bootable disk image. We run various systemd tools that are helpful to configure an image. If needed, we build an InitRamFS. This is again when you're doing bootable stuff. We generate what's called a unified kernel image. This is this new systemd thing that allows you to combine the kernel command line, kernel image, the InitRamFS, all in a single file, and then boot that from that in UEFI. Then we package up the entire thing as a disk image, and then optionally, of course, you can boot it in QEMU or a container with systemd nspawn. So how do you get started with MakeOS I? This is not like the kernel hacking specific stuff, but this is just like, if you want the MakeOS I image, you specify which distribution you want, you specify the packages you want. In this case, systemd and Linux, and we're running on Arch. We have an autologin option to basically automatically get a root shell in the virtual machine, and then you say, I want to boot this in QEMU. That gives you something like this. So we support this for Debian, CentOS, OpenSUSE, Arch, Fedora, and Ubuntu. And there's a few other distributions, but they're all derivatives of these. So everything can be specified via CLI, the settings, as you can see here. But of course, we also have configuration. So this is like the system, the ini file syntax that we all know and love. So we more or less do the same stuff. So you can also specify it all in a configuration file. Using MakeOS I for kernel development and development in general. So what I showed previously, just installs packages from the distribution. Of course, that doesn't really help us. We want to build stuff from source, either systemd or, in this case, the kernel. So you can specify a build script. The build script is responsible for building your software. Canonically, we call this makeosi.build. So when you define that, makeosi will pick it up, and it just contains the instructions to build your software. So either make for the kernel or meson for systemd. You can specify build packages, which are just the packages that are needed to run the build script, so compiler, build system, and all that. You can specify a build directory so that everything is cached. This is important so that your incremental builds are fast. With the build directory, we have the build cached, but we don't have the image cached yet, so we have the incremental setting for that, which will install all the packages once, cache the result, and then reuse that on the next builds, so that our image builds are fast as well. And then we have various settings that you can use to configure the image without invalidating the cache. So you can add extra files for testing or to configure your shell in the image, or basically anything you might want that like configures the environment to your liking, you can do with the extra trees and the post-installation script so that the testing environment is the way you want it. Whatever customization you want, you can pretty much do it. And then we have the runtime trees to basic, which we use Virtio.fsd then to mount extra directories into the virtual machine. So you can make the XFS cast source code, for example, available for running XFS tests, or you can make your home directory available in the VM if you want that, whatever you want with runtime trees. You can modify the kernel command line in whatever way you want. And we want to specify the output format as a directory so that we don't have to build a disk image, but we can just boot from the directory itself, also using Virtio.fs. Why do we want to do that? Because it's faster. Packaging things up as a disk image takes time, and we're looking for this quick turnaround time, so we try to make everything go as fast as possible. So MakeOS I kernel is really nothing more than a MakeOS I configuration in a separate repository that's specific to hacking on the kernel. So we have a build script for the kernel, and then we have various other modules that are all just build scripts for user space projects that are related to kernel development. So as of this moment, we have, of course, a module for the kernel, and then we have other modules for BetterFS procs, because, well, I work at Meta, and Meta works on BetterFS. The Linux test project, which I added for Christian, and then some other testing projects like block tests, and bpfilter, which is a Quentin's project for hacking on firewalls. So I added that as well. So you basically specify which modules you want, and then all those get included. So getting started with MakeOS I kernel more or less looks like this. You clone the repository. MakeOS I is pretty easy to install. You can also install it from your package manager, of course, but it's a pretty fast-moving project. So in this case, we install it from source, so you just clone the repository. You symlink the script to somewhere in your path, and then that's all you need. You can then run it. We download, if you want, well, by default for the MakeOS I kernel, we download all the other tools we need on demand. So the only stuff it needs is Python and BubbleWrap, and of course a package manager. And then that's enough to get started. Then we clone the MakeOS I kernel repository, which contains the kernel configure-specific configuration. And then you can write a local configuration file that basically says, what distribution do I want to use to test or to use MakeOSI kernel. So we support Fedora, CentOS, and Debian at this point, but it's easy to add more. The only thing that's distribution specific is basically which packages you need to do kernel development. So you just define the list of packages for to build the kernel and to boot the system, and that's sufficient to add a new distribution. So it would be very easy to add Arch Linux here as well. And then, of course, finally, we specify the modules, and we specify where our kernel sources live. So this is with the build sources setting. So your kernel can be source tree can be checked out anywhere on your system. And then you use the build sources setting to specify, here's the source location, and then the target directory where it should be mounted when we run the build script. So this should always be kernel, the target directory. Source directory can be anything, and it will be mounted in the right place. And then we run MakeOSI, and it will do its thing. So I hope this works with the internet here, but I made a video. This is with everything cached, so otherwise it would take a little bit too long for this talk. But when we run QEMU, we see the image is cached, and then we start running make. The kernel build is, of course, cached as well, otherwise it would take forever. So not too much happening, but we get a new kernel image packaged up. Then we make OSI does its thing, and then we boot. And then you're running in a VM that's running the kernel compiled from source. And you can do whatever testing you want, and then we shut down again. So, of course, to build the kernel, we need kernel configuration. We ship a default kernel config in MakeOSI itself. This is just with the minimal amount of stuff enabled to do to test various things and to the necessary drivers to be able to boot in a virtual machine. So we keep the drivers to a minimum and the features to a maximum. Anything like that's related to kernel development can be enabled so that it's available and that you can use it for testing. We also enable like a few debugging things so that it's easier to figure out what's going wrong. For example, also the kernel command line, we configure it to panic on oops and stuff like that, so that when something goes wrong when you're testing, you immediately see and you don't have to go to dmessage to figure out that something went wrong or stuff like that. We also allow configuring to build the self-tests if you want that, and specifically which self-tests. So you can specify targets or you can specify to skip specific targets. For example, the BPF self-tests, because those take absolutely forever to build. You can specify your own kconfig if you want, so you don't have to use MakeOSI's default one. You can specify your own. And the interesting way that we basically use this minimal config file is by using the aldefconfig make command, which basically says take the config file that we specify with kconfig aldconfig, use everything from that, and set every other option, kconfig option, to its default value. So we enable, like we specify what we want, and we give everything else its default value. And then finally, while I said that MakeOSI can build an InnoRamFS for you, building an InnoRamFS is again more work, which means slower turnaround time. So in this case, because we're building our own kernel anyway, we simply build the FertoAOFS driver wide into the kernel, and that removes the entire need for even needing an InnoRamFS. So we just skip that step completely. As I already mentioned, there's a few useful settings to like runtime trees and extra trees to customize the image. Another one that's useful for file system development is the QEMU drives and the QEMU arcs settings. So to add extra devices, block devices, to a VM with QEMU, you need both a drive, which is the host-facing side of it, and then, of course, a device, which is the guest-facing side of it. So MakeOSI can allocate the drive for you using a file that it creates itself on the file system, which it then removes when the VM shuts down. So that's what you can do with the QEMU drives, and you can specify the serial or the drive ID. You can specify the size, and you can specify all the extra QEMU options you might want. In this case, we specify that asynchronous I/O should be done using I/O Uring. And then, of course, you need to attach the drive to an actual QEMU device. So in this case, we specify an NVMe device. We give it the BetterFS serial. And we specify that the drive should be BetterFS, which is the same as the ID we gave to drive. Like I said, we can configure the kernel command line. And if you want to do bootloader stuff, you might want to hack on the EFI stub or stuff like that. You can also specify that we should boot in a UEFI environment so that you can, yeah, basically hack on the EFI stub code or anything related to that. While all this stuff I mentioned works, like usually what you do with QEMU is you have your dash kernel argument and your dash append and your dash initrd, which you use for kernel development. But when you start doing UEFI, you might not have all of that available anymore. Now, what MakeOSI does is it basically sets things up so that even if you're booting in a UEFI environment, everything really works the same. Even though we don't directly, might not directly use dash kernel anymore, we might be booting from a disk image, we can still like append to the kernel command line and all that. It's all still all supported. You can get some extra shells in the image as well. So of course you get the serial console, but you might want extra shells, so you can do that with MakeOSI SSH. You have to also enable the SSH option to make sure that the image is configured for this, but we do that by default in MakeOSI kernel. There's a very complicated diagram here that basically shows how we implement this in systemd. But the interesting thing about what MakeOSI SSH is that you don't need your VM to have a configured network to be able to do this. So for VMs, there's this alternative socket family, which is called AFVSOC, which allows for inter-VM communication that doesn't rely on the network interface being up and running and configured. So using a bunch of new systemd features, what we're able to do is at runtime provision the virtual machine with your SSH public key. So we put it in, we can put it in the authorized keys file for the root user. And then if there's a VSOC device attached to the VM, in the next systemd release, systemd will basically be able to automatically detect that a VSOC device is attached. And if so, it will generate a socket unit that will run SSHD on port 22 of the AFVSOC family. And this allows you to connect to the VM over VSOC from the host without needing a network. We can also do install a drop-in file for the SSH on the host configuration, which SSH support now, as you can do drop-in configuration for SSH. And we can use the SSH proxy protocol to basically take possession of the Unix and the VSOC hostname prefixes so that you can use those to connect to VSOC enabled VMs. So with all this setup, you can basically do SSH VSOC slash the VSOC connection ID to connect to that specific virtual machine, all without going over the network. So we don't use this stuff yet in MakeOSI. We have our own version because the systemd thing is very recent, but we'll be moving to this in the future once this is available everywhere. Running tests manually is all good and fine, but you want to move like from manual testing to automatic testing, of course. So we also support this. When you want to do automatic testing, you want to run a test and you want to get an exit status. Usually this is very simple with a process. You just run the process in your shell or whatever, and you get the exit status from the kernel. When you run the test in a VM, this gets a bit harder. There's not really an easy way to get the exit status of a process that's run in the VM and transfer it back to the host. If you're running a directory from a directory with further OFS, you can just write some files to the directory and retrieve all the information that way if you want. But if you're doing testing from a disk image, then you have to mount the disk image once the VM shuts down to access the information. And of course, to mount the disk image on Linux, you need root privileges. So you have to start entering your password and stuff. So it all becomes a bit more complicated. So what we added instead is a way, again, using the VSOC stuff, to have the VM, when it shuts down, and you use these two unit settings, success action equals exit, and failure action equals exit in the systemd unit. When that unit exits, the VM will also, the systemd will also shut down, so the VM will shut down. But it will use the SDNotify protocol, which is some systemd thing to send notifications, to send the exit status over VSOC from the VM to the host. And MakeOSI can pick up on this, and exit with that exit status. So seems pretty trivial to get the exit status, but there's a bit of work involved to get it out of the VM. And then, of course, what we also want is the logs. So this isn't actually upstream yet, but we're looking to have add another forwarding mode to systemd internally, so that, again, using VSOC, it can forward logs over an AF VSOC socket. And then we can listen on the host, receive those forwarded logs with systemd internally remote, and write all the logs to a local directory. And that means we can access the logs on the host without needing root privileges. We don't have to mount the image. We just have to do the logs locally. We run internal kernel on it, and we can access the logs, see what went wrong with the test, and debug further. Of course, I'm not the only project in this space. We do have some competition. So the latest project in this space is FertNG. So I thought I'd mention it as well, because I don't want to claim everything for myself. Like, there's more tools than just the Mako SI kernel. So definitely take a look at FertNG as well. FertNG is very focused on kernel development. So it has a lot more options to, for example, use the kernel from the host and various other options, but it's very specific to kernel development. It also has its own init system that it runs in the VM, which allows it to boot very fast. But you don't get all you don't get a regular Linux system like you would when you, I don't want to like say that systemd is regular, but you don't get systemd, so if you want to start doing stuff with devices or something like that, UDEV won't be running. So it gives you a bit more limited environment. So depending on what you're doing, one or the other might be more useful. That's more or less it on the comparison. If you want to know more about this, like, come talk to me afterwards or something, and I can say a bit more about the differences between the two. Of course, I'll end with some reactions from users. So, of course, like, Christian already said he was using it, so it's very nice, his reaction to it. And then Joseph from Meta, the BetterFS file system maintainer, is also using it. So, and he's also very happy with it. So I hope it can be more useful for more than just them. So please give it a try, and I'm happy to answer any questions or implement more features if needed. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for the talk. Two quick questions. So one, what about cross-compiling?
So that works. We don't have a specific environment variable in the build script yet that allows you to specify cross-compile, but we can simply add that. But I already tried it just by hacking the build script and saying changing the architecture to compile for ARM64, and that works. Christian also, I'm not sure who added it, but we also added support for compiling with LLVM if you want to.
And the second small question, maybe I missed that because I was late for the talk. What gets into the UnitRAMFS? So what about firmware and all that stuff?
So Mako SI kernel by default doesn't boot within UnitRAMFS when we do the further IOFS stuff. If you do a disk image, then the UnitRAMFS is built with Mako SI itself. So I actually have another talk about this in the distribution dev room. But yeah, we just install regular RPM packages or whatever into the UnitRAMFS. And then by default, we just copy all the kernel modules and firmware from the host. But we have a suite of settings to basically include and exclude whatever you want. And we also have the stuff that UnitRAMFS generators do to include everything that's loaded on the host if you want that. So you can configure a bit which firmware and drivers you want. We'll also make sure that if you specify these drivers, modules should be included. We pick up all the dependencies as well, so we make sure that all that is set up correctly and included.
I'm using the UnitRAMFS stuff. Like, I'm building full images, and I'm not using the QEMU part. I'm using a different virtual machine manager for this, and it works really nice. Because that was the biggest thing for me, that it wasn't easy to build an UnitRAMFS, especially if you want to do it distro independent, which was really annoying.
So, Is this also useful if you want to run a mainline on a new device where there's only some heavy patched vendor kernel, so you want to test if your drivers work, and so you need to you want to test it, but don't want to touch any non-volatile memory. Just start it somehow without like with fast boot or something like this.
Sorry, can you, I'm don't think I completely heard the question.
So this was all about mainly. So if you want to test if the kernel works on a new device, mm-hmm. Where only vendor kernels are known to boot, so you don't want to destroy the user space there, but first test it there before you touch user space. And you want to boot it only from RAM, can it also be used in that way?
So it's very focused on virtual machines at the moment. Well, MakeOSI's kernel specifically is, but MakeOSI can build you images that you can then deploy on another device. So like you can run the stuff that is produced by MakeOSI on your laptop, or you can flash it to your disk and it will boot. But specifically, without destroying the user space, we don't have anything specific to make that work. You could take the kernel produced and keep the user space the same, but it's not something I've looked at before. So it probably won't work.
All right, I think if there are no more questions, then thanks for your talk. Thanks for the tool.